Hello, I want to welcome everyone to the second Think Pink and Grow Rich call. I'm here with Chris Kenny. I'm Nancy Roberts, and tonight you're in for a treat because we're going to be talking about a topic that, from coaching business owners and Mary Kay business owners, we know stops a lot of people in their tracks, and that's the topic of fear. So before we jump into the content, I just want to make sure everyone's aware that our first Q&A call is Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. You'll get a reminder email about it with the call-in information. And basically how that works is you can bring your questions to that call about the last call on mission, about tonight's call on fear, or about anything related to your business at all. And Chris and I, we tend to stay on the line until everybody's questions are answered. So it's a great time for you to get laser coaching from us. So just make sure, if you can, to make the call. And if you already know you can't be on the call, let's say you have a meeting or something that conflicts with it, if you have a question you want us to answer, please feel free to email us the question at info@insightspps.com and send the question to us. And what we'll do is we'll address it on the call. And that way, when you get the recording of the Q&A call, you can hear how Chris or I answered your question. Okay, so I just want to start out tonight. Chris is going to do the remainder of the call, but I just want to mention that, you know, I really frequently see statistics about businesses failing. You know, there's a statistic that 95% of all businesses fail within the first, I think it's 5 years. And a lot of times what you'll hear people say is businesses fail because of undercapitalization, meaning they didn't borrow enough money on the front end, they didn't get a big enough loan, or when they needed cash flow, they didn't go get it. And quite frankly, I think that's a bunch of BS. I think what happens is when you need to make money in your business, when the cash flow gets tight, most people will not overcome their fear of selling, of marketing, of promoting themselves in order to do what they need to do to bring the money into their business. It's not undercapitalization, it's over fear, in my opinion. So Chris is going to go into some really great information about overcoming fear tonight, and just strap on your seatbelts because it's really great info. It's stuff that Chris and I have applied in our business and lives the last few years. So I'm going to turn over the call now to Chris Kenny.
Hi, everybody. It is. It's a pleasure. And this is a topic that really is near and dear to me. It's probably, of all things that we coach and of all things that we teach, it's probably my favorite topic. And, you know, when I say that, what I mean is it is. It's something that I absolutely love to cover. But at the same time, I see a huge sense of urgency when it comes to helping people work through it, because as Nancy said, I don't think there's anything that sabotages business owners more than fear, in my opinion. And we've seen it over and over and over again. So what I want to give to all of you in the next hour is really what I like to refer to as the truth about fear, and I'm hoping that through this you'll actually uncover some things about yourself, you'll have some revelations, and maybe you'll start to look at fear in a little bit of a different way, because that was really the first step for me when I started to break free in my life. And I'll just tell you a quick story. I was a person, I started, a lot of you already know, but I had about an 11-year career in sales. And it ended up being a lucrative career. It served a definite purpose in my life, but I ended up, you know, making Circle of Excellence and, you know, winning the trips and all the different things, all the accolades that come along with that. But it wasn't always like that. My first year in selling, I was absolutely terrified of picking up the phone. And, you know, when I say terrified of picking up the phone, that didn't really hit me until I got a job in field sales, because my first job was as a telemarketer. And I know that sounds funny. As a telemarketer, I could do it. But then when I got out into the field and I started doing field selling, face-to-face selling, it was like the fear reappeared again. And I ended up almost losing my job as a result of it. So I'm going to share with you some of the tools that I learned and hopefully bring to your awareness some real aha moments about the topic. So let's really start on the page one or page two there. the truth about fear, we're only born with two fears. And those fears are fear of falling and fear of loud noises. Fear of falling and fear of loud noises. And that's actually really good news, in my opinion, because what that says is that all the fear that's going on, all that emotion that you get into, all these things that you're afraid of now, maybe it's fear of picking up the phone, those are all things that are learned. And because it's learned, that also means that you can unlearn it. And you can learn tools and techniques to manage it. And that's what I'm going to share with you tonight. And I want to add something to that. If you could put a letter C. And what I want you to write in there is something along the lines of, you know, fear, it's not your natural self. Just write down not your natural self. And when I say it's not your natural self, it's when you become fearful, you're actually sort of breaking away from the person that God put you here to be. The fear is sort of covering up your natural self. It's covering up your natural gifts. And one of the things that I read about fear a while back, and it's absolutely stuck with me, is the fact that, and I want you to write this down as well, fear is faith misdirected. Fear is faith misdirected. That I know Mary Kay is a primarily Christian environment, so all of you get this. You know about the power of faith. But think about what's happening when you become fearful. What's happening when you become fearful is you're starting to put faith in a bad outcome. That's the only difference. So what I want you to start to try to do is use that same faith, but instead of directing it and giving energy to a bad outcome, use that same faith and direct it toward a positive outcome. So the statement is fear is faith misdirected. And when we talk about, you know, covering up our natural selves when we become fearful, I don't know if any of you have heard the story about the clay Buddha. And this was, you know, many years ago, and I'm going to try to, you know, kind of summarize it quickly. But there was a battle going on. So the monks, they had covered this Buddha in clay. And several years later, you know, the next group of monks is in there and so on and so forth, and they've got this big clay Buddha, and the monastery was actually moving. So they had to move the Buddha. And what ended up happening was when they moved the Buddha, it was actually rainy. So some of the clay started to come off of the Buddha. And they started to notice that as some of the clay was coming off, underneath it, it was like solid gold. So what had happened was there was a battle or a war, so they covered this solid gold Buddha with clay so that the enemy wouldn't steal it. So in the current monks had no idea that there was solid gold underneath it. So what I'm saying to you is the thing that covering that you end up with, that fear, that's the clay. And if we can just pick that back and peel that back a little bit and give you some tools and techniques for managing fear, we can get to the solid gold that's underneath all of you. So again, two fears, fear of falling, fear of loud noises, and then when you become fearful, you're not your natural self. And fear is faith misdirected. Now, number two, before age seven, our conscious mind isn't developed. Before age seven, our conscious mind isn't developed. So here's what happens prior to age seven, and this really ties into why we're so fearful. And what happens is, again, we don't have that conscious mind, so all of the information, all of the experiences that take place in our life prior to age seven, all the information, all the influences, all that stuff coming in from people of influence in your life, it goes right into your subconscious. Right into your subconscious. So what ends up happening is you end up taking on all of the beliefs and the belief systems of those people that are around you. And the interesting thing about the subconscious mind does not have the ability to choose whether a belief is empowering or disempowering. It doesn't have the ability to accept or reject information. It just takes what's coming in. Okay, the conscious mind is what gives us the ability to choose. But again, that's not formed until age seven. So if there's a lot of negativity that's surrounding you, or if the people in your life, your parents, your siblings, teachers, all those different people that you might be interacting with, if they are fearful, you are now then taking on that same belief system. They're imposing that on you. They don't realize they're doing it, but that's what happens. And that ties into number three. By the time we're teens, we have heard no approximately 50,000 times, and we've heard yes approximately 5,000 times. Let me say that again. By the time we are teens, we've heard no approximately 50,000 times, and we've heard yes approximately 5,000 times. So it's no wonder we start to become fearful. Think of the amount of times, think of the programming that's going on when you're consistently, you're taking these actions, you're doing these different things, you're probably at that young age closer to your natural self than at any time, but all you're hearing is no, no, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, constantly being corrected and maybe even being reprimanded for being who you are. So I think that's one of the reasons why we become fearful. Okay, moving down to number four. This is one of my favorite phrases. And I want you to hear this, and I want you to actually think about this, and I want you to think about how it's showing up in your life and how it's showing up in your business. What that means, CZ equals MZ, what that means is your comfort zone equals your money zone. Your comfort zone equals your money zone. And what that means is the amount of money, the amount of income that you're currently generating in your business right now is directly proportionate to where your comfort zone is. So if you want to actually make more money, you want to generate more production, the key is to expand your comfort zone, because if your comfort zone expands, so is your money zone. And when I think about the time that I spent in selling, that's what happened. When I first started, I was on the phone. I was a telemarketer. And when I first started that, I was uncomfortable telemarketing. And again, that resurfaced again when I got into the field. So I was making 150 dials per day, 150 per day. And that was out of my comfort zone. And that was bringing me about $20,000 a year. And then I realized that when I did the math, I said, if I want to finish and I want to be at 100%, I need to make 200 calls per day. And that was out of my comfort zone. So I started making 200. And then what ended up happening was I got promoted. I got sent out into do current client upgrading. So I would call on current clients and you know, essentially sell them more things. But that was out of my comfort zone. But that took my pay up to about $40,000. And then I started as a field rep. My first year as a field rep was an absolute train wreck because I was so uncomfortable, couldn't get out of my comfort zone, and I think I made about $45,000, maybe $50,000 that year, almost got fired. Then I started to really expand my comfort zone, and 2 years later, I was at the top of the organization, and I was making over $100,000. So, you know, it showed up in my life. And again, I can't reiterate it enough. Your comfort zone equals your money zone. So let's see. One of the things that we see over and over again is that people are uncomfortable picking up the phone and doing booking calls. They don't love doing booking calls. They don't love doing warm chatter. And we've all heard in Mary Kay, 30 phases. 30 phases in 30 days, 30 phases in 30 days. That's the road to national. That's how you do it. And for some of you who've never done 30 phases, you might think that that is an absolutely daunting task because you haven't done it. You haven't had that experience. So what I want to do for you here, because again, this is a very common fear of picking up the phone, I want to break down the numbers for you so that you actually know what 30 faces looks like when we boil it right down to the nuts and bolts. And I think this is going to be very eye-opening for all of you. Every time I've done this with a client, they go, oh my gosh. So I want you to hear me when I say this. Write these numbers down. Let's say that you go out to a lead event. You set up a table, you put some product out, and you're collecting leads. And now it's time to cook, It's time to cook those leads. It's time to call those leads. And let's make this assumption, and I've shared these numbers with nationals and with directors and with consultants. Really, there's several people, and they'd say these are pretty accurate. But give or take, let's say that you call those people. Let's say one out of every five book. So one out of five books. So write that down. One out of five people book. You have an average of three people at each party. And again, it could be a little more, it could be a little less, but let's just use three. So if you've got three at each party and you need 30 faces, how many parties do we need? Well, we need 10. So we need 10 parties, but we know, based on the numbers, that only about 50% of the parties that we book hold. So if we really want 10 parties to hold, how many do we have to book? We have to book 20. Okay? So we need 20 bookings. So think about this. If one out of every five people book and we need 20 bookings, how many calls is that? Let me just give you the answer. I'm going to spare you the math. The answer is 100 calls. If you make 100 calls, you will likely get 20 bookings. Okay, but here's the thing. It's 30 faces in 30 days. So you have to make 100 calls, but that's in a 30-day period. That comes down to 3.3 calls per day. 3.3, so let's round it up. Four calls per day. Four booking calls per day will likely get you your 30 faces. And when I share those numbers and I think about what I went through in corporate America, making 200 dials per day to get myself into field sales and generate, you know, a decent career in sales, and I think about, wow, four or five calls per day will get you your 30 faces. You just have to do it consistently. You have to be willing to make that commitment. But think about it. It's 3.3 calls per day. I know every single human being on this line is capable and has the time to make four booking calls per day. And if you stick to that and you're consistent, you'll get to your 30, as long as you're calling fresh leads. All right, so enough on that. It's very important. It's very important for you to know these numbers, because when you crunch it down like that, you can hear, wow, this really isn't, it sounds simple, doesn't it? We're breaking it down so you can see how simple it can truly be. All right, let's go to number five. Fear fact number one, fear never goes away as long as we're continuing to grow. Fear never goes away as long as we're continuing to grow. And the first time I heard that, it was actually a little bit of a relief. And the reason was I felt, wow, great. Now I don't have to spend so much time worrying about it. I don't have to spend so much time trying to fight it off. This is part of the process. So think about that. Fear is actually an affirmation of growth. Fear is an affirmation of growth. It's you having that moment in time. You're in a moment in time where if you take this action and you do that thing that you're uncomfortable with, you're going to experience growth. So that's fantastic. And that's how we want to look at it. We want to look at it as it's a gift. It's something that comes into our consciousness that says you're about to grow. You're about to expand your thinking. You're about to do something that perhaps can take you to the next level. And as we turn the page and we look at number six, what I want all of you to do, and I want to make a strong point with this, what I want all of you to do is I want you to think about your most rewarding experience or any experience in your life that was extremely rewarding. It could be something like a high school graduation. It could be a college graduation. It could be winning the swim meet. It could be having a tough conversation with your kids. Anything that comes to mind. It could be your wedding day. It could be your marriage. What is something that has been rewarding for you in your life? And I'll give you about 15 seconds to think about what that might be. Okay, now I want to ask you a really important question about that item or that event that you wrote down. Here's the question. Were there times during that experience that you had to get uncomfortable? Were there times during that experience that you had to get uncomfortable or you had to face some fear? And most times, 9 times out of 10, yes, the answer is yes, you do. I would challenge any of you to think about a situation in your life where you experienced some growth without facing fear, or you had a rewarding experience without having to face some fear. So fear isn't like this demon that we have to go out and we have to tackle. It's something that we should be welcoming. And when I think about my most rewarding experience, the first one that comes to mind, and it was life-changing for me, was the first time that I got the opportunity to train salespeople. And it was horrifying because I only had a couple of days' notice, and I had to do 16 hours of curriculum. And I had never trained before, so I was totally out of my comfort zone. I was absolutely horrified. I didn't sleep for those 2 days. When I got there in the morning, my tongue was stuck to the roof of my mouth. You know, I was a mess, and I hadn't done public speaking since I had been back in college. And the last public speaking engagement that I did back in college, I actually threw up in my car on my way to the class. So that's where I was. I was totally uncomfortable. And I'll tell you, what ended up happening was I did this training anyway. I conducted this training. And that was the moment, or that was the 2-day period where I realized that this was the kind of work that I wanted to be doing for the rest of my life. That event, that moment that I did what was uncomfortable, absolutely changed my life. It shifted how I viewed my profession. It shifted how I viewed myself. And it shifted what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And here I am several years later doing that thing that I love. But had I said no to that experience because I was uncomfortable, I wouldn't be here. So that's why I'm so passionate about working through this. So I want to tell you my golden rule. I have a golden rule for how I make decisions, and I'm hoping all of you will start to try to adopt this into your life, because when I started to make decisions in this way, everything started to turn around. Everything started to come together. Everything started to make sense. So here's the golden rule. If fear is the only reason for saying no, I say yes. If fear is the only reason for saying no, I say yes. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be a speaking engagement that makes me uncomfortable. It could be making a decision whether or not I should try zip lining or skydiving or something along those lines. If fear is the only reason I'm saying no, I say yes. So I want you all to really think about that. Now, what I want to do now is I want to give you fear fact number 2, and then I want to give you some tools because, you know, this is, and again, it's really important. Fear is something that can sabotage it. It's something that can absolutely hold you back. I'm going to give you some tools that you can use and start applying right now to push through some of the fear. Now, fear fact number 2 is fear is always in the future. Fear is always in the future. And what I mean by that is it's always about what might happen next. When you become fearful, you're starting to say, you know, what if? You know, what if I call this person and they reject me? What if I call this person and they're rude? What if I call this person and they think I'm bothering them? But it's always about a future event. It's about what might happen next. So one of the tools that you can use to manage that is to stay present. Because when you become fearful, you've moved into the future. You've started to predict in your mind the bad outcome for the future. So get yourself back into the present. And when I say that, the way that you can do that is you can start asking yourself this question. You can say, what's the step that's right in front of me? In other words, you all have a goal. You want to get to directorship, or maybe you want to earn your first car, or you want to get into your red jacket, or you want to go national. Okay? You've got that goal. So ask yourself the question, what's the first step that's right in front of me? What's the step that's right in front of me now that I can take in order to move myself to the next level? That'll get you present. Now, with regard to the phone, because I know a lot of you are afraid of it, or you're not on the phone doing the booking calls as frequently as you could because you don't love it. Maybe you're a little bit afraid of it. Here's the question that I want you to use. I'm going to ask you all this, and I want you to try to implement this from day to day. The question is, am I good enough to make one call right now? Am I good enough to make one call right now? And every time I've ever asked the person that question, they've said, yes, I am good enough to make one call right now. But here's the thing. The thing is, in any given moment in time, all you ever have is one call. You can't make multiple calls at once in any given moment. You can only make one. So ask yourself that question. Am I good enough to make one call right now and then make one call? And then after you make that call, ask yourself the question again. Am I good enough to make one call right now and then make the call? So your two tools for right now, stay present, focus on the task that's right in front of you, that first step, and ask yourself the question, am I good enough to make one call right now? Now, the next tool that you can use is to chunk down your tasks. And what I mean is that, you know, those things that you're afraid to do, and again, I'm just going to stay with booking calls because I know how frequently that comes into play. All of you, I would guess, have a stack of leads somewhere that you haven't called. You've all got one. I've talked about this with clients over and over and over and over and over again. You know the stack I'm talking about, right? It could be in the desk. It could be at the top of the desk. You've all got one. And what ends up happening with that is, say there's 30 cards there or 30 people that you haven't called. What ends up happening is you start to think about calling all 30, and that overwhelms you. It paralyzes you. It prevents you from taking action at all. So what I want you to do is I want you to chunk it down and chunk it down into a manageable level. If you've got 30 cards there, make a commitment to call 2 people. Make a commitment to call 3 people. Whatever it is, chunk it down. Don't focus on calling the whole entire stack because that will paralyze you. Again, are you good enough to make one call right now? So pull one person off of that stack if you're not making calls for your business. Now, here's another thing that happens, and this is important for you to understand, is people end up attaching security to that stack of leads. They attach security to it. They start to see that their business is struggling. And then they say to themselves, oh, but I still got that stack of leads over there. Not bringing in enough production, but I still got those leads. I still got those leads over there because it feels better to have those leads over there as potential yeses than it does to pick them up and call them and have them be no's. So what ends up happening is you're attaching security, and you all know what I'm talking about. I can actually see you through the phone nodding your heads because I've had this conversation so many times. You're attaching security to it. You're attaching safety to something that's actually not safe. And Gloria Mayfield Banks talks about this all the time when she says, your comfort zone, is it really comfortable? You know the comfort zone you're in? Is it really comfortable? That zone that you're in, the cocoon that you've built for yourself, not working to your potential, not fulfilling your gift, is that comfortable? It's not. But we attach safety to it. And you're doing the same exact thing, perhaps, with that stack of leads that you're not calling. So chunk it down into manageable tasks. Here's another trick. What happens, the thing that creates the fear when it comes to picking up the phone, the thing that creates the fear is the story you tell yourself about the call. Let me give you a couple examples. You go out and you meet Marcy at a lead event, and you decide it's time to call Marcy, and then you realize, oh, it's Sunday. It's Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. I shouldn't call Sunday today, or call Marcy today. And then Monday comes around, and you say to yourself, well, I probably shouldn't call Marcy. She wouldn't want to hear from me today. She's probably digging out from the weekend. And then Tuesday comes around, and when you think to call her, it's 8:30 at night, and then you realize, oh, that's right, Marcy had two kids. It's 8:30 at night. I probably shouldn't call her. She's probably putting the kids to bed. And then Wednesday comes around, and you've got a stack of dishes in the sink, and the house is a little bit cluttered. So you say, well, let me go pick up the dishes and take care of the clutter. And the next thing you know, oh, it's 8:30 again. She's got those kids. Probably shouldn't call her today. And then Thursday comes around, and you decide you'd rather go shopping, so you go shopping, and you don't get to call Marcy. And the next thing you know, 2 weeks has gone by, you haven't called Marcy, and now the story that's going on in your mind is, well, I met Marcy 2 weeks ago. Marcy probably won't remember who I am, so I'm not going to call Marcy. So we have all of these stories that take place in our mind about the person that we're going to call. So what I find triggers the story is the person's name, if you remember the person's name. So what I always tell people to do is when you're going to make your calls, write the names down and the phone numbers on a sheet of paper, and then cover up the names. Cover them. Because if you cover them, all you're seeing is a bunch of phone numbers. You can't attach a story to just a random number. You can't attach this catastrophic story or quote-unquote excuse or a prejudgment about a person if you don't have that person's name. So you cover the person's name. And then if and when they answer the phone, you slide down your straight edge and you look at the person's name. But when you're going to make your calls, cover the names. Okay? The other thing that you can do, I want to give you one more tool here, and then we're going to do some more stuff with regard to awareness and how to catch yourself. So the other tool that I want to give you is to create a mantra. Create a mantra. And why do we do that? Well, we do that because our mind at any given moment, and this has been proven, at any given moment, your mind can only focus on one thing at a time. It can only focus on one thing at a time. So create a mantra. What I like to use when I don't feel like making calls or I'm getting, you know, a little bit call reluctant or fearful, the mantra that I use is don't think. It's don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think. And as I'm saying that, I'm dialing the phone. Don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think. Hi, this is Chris Kenny from Insights. Do that. Say that to yourself. Don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think. Because remember, it's your thinking. It's the way that you're thinking about it. It's your thinking that has you where you are. And if you want to move someplace different, you want to go to a different place, you have to start to think a little bit differently. All right. Ah, take a deep breath, Chris. Woo. Number 8, more than 90% of what we worry about never happens. More than 90% of what we worry about never happens. When I learned that, it was really profound for me because I was so fearful and so worried about all these different things that were going to happen in my life. And when I read that statistic, I said to myself, wow, think about the time and the energy that I'm spending when it comes to worry. So think about that. How much time are you spending worrying about things? And how much energy gets drained out of you because you're in a state of worry? Think about that. More than 90% of what we worry about never happens. Mark Twain said it right when he said, Mark Twain said, I've had a life of many struggles, most of which never happened. Let me say that again. I've had a life of many struggles, most of which never happened. He's talking about how he worried, how he constantly worried, and he kept himself in that place. So think about that and try to break yourself away from that. Catch yourself in that moment and shift your thinking into the positive. All right, number 9. One of my favorite sayings, worry is prayer for what you don't want. Worry is prayer for what you don't want. And number 10 explains that. Worry is prayer for what you don't want. Why? In that model there, the TFAR model, the T stands for thoughts. So write that down, thoughts. The F stands for feelings. The A stands for actions. And the R stands for results. So the way that reads is thoughts create feelings. Feelings create actions, and actions create results. So if your thought is in a perpetual state of worry, or if your thought is constantly negative, that creates a disempowering feeling. And when you have a disempowering feeling, you take little or no action, and then you get little or no results. That's why worry is prayer for what you don't want. You have to start to realize, we all have to start to realize how our thoughts impact our results. And that's what 10 explains. Thoughts create feelings. Feelings create actions. Actions create results. Okay, moving on. Number 11. Fear fact number 3. And this is an awesome fear fact. The only way to feel better about yourself is to take action. The only way to feel better about yourself is to take action, meaning do that thing that you're afraid of. Because here's what happens when you do. Your self-esteem goes through the roof. And I can't state that to you in a way that's powerful enough. I mean, I want you to realize that. When you start to make calls and you start to do those things that you're uncomfortable, you start to step out of that comfort zone and you start to do it on a regular basis, you start to feel incredible about yourself. Your energy level goes up. You're inspired. You're motivated because you're taking control of your life. You're taking control of your fear. The fear is not controlling you. You're controlling it. And it feels fantastic. And when you get yourself in that energy, the people that you're surrounding yourself with, the people that you're trying to book, the people that you're warm chattering, the people you're meeting at your lead events, they sense that. They sense your positive energy, and they want what you've got. So you sell more. You recruit more. You build your business because you're in different energy. And the nice thing about that is when you're doing what's uncomfortable, it doesn't so much matter the result. I've found that when I do what's uncomfortable, even if I don't get the result I want, I'm still celebrating the fact that I did what was uncomfortable, and I still feel fantastic about myself. So if you want to feel better, if you're in a little bit of a slump, if it's not going so well right now, the best solution is to pick up your phone and make some calls. You could call clients. You can call clients and ask for referrals. But take an action, because the action will help you feel better. All right, number 12, for those of you that were on the New Level, New Devil call, this is review, but I always say repetition is a good thing, so I still want to share this. So the comfort zone is the middle, the CZ. And some of you in your business, you might want, you know, you might want to achieve a higher level of income, so you see the dollar sign. Some of you might want to earn a car, so you see the car keys. Some of you might want a better relationship. Some of you might want a better house or a bigger house in a different neighborhood. So what I want you to see is that all of those things that you want actually reside outside of your comfort zone. The house, the car, the relationship, the money, all of those things reside outside of your comfort zone. So if you want them, you have to be willing to go there. You have to be willing to step out, because that's where they are. They're not in the box. They're not in the comfort zone. They're outside of it. And the most important thing, number 13, is the directions for how to get what you want are outside of the box. The directions for how to you know, how to achieve that house and how to earn that car, those come to you, but not until you step out of the box, not until you step out of the comfort zone. And the example that I always use when we talk about this is I tell people to imagine you're at an unfamiliar place, you're in an unfamiliar town, and you have to go to the store and buy snacks. And you pull up to the store,
could you actually get the snacks if you stayed in the car in the parking lot? No, you couldn't. Why? Because the snacks are inside. So what happens is you go inside of the store, and then once you get inside, all the resources that you need to find the snacks are in the store. There's signs above the aisles that tell you where the snacks are. There's other people in the store that know where the snacks are. But you wouldn't get those resources if you didn't get out of the car. So in this example, the car represents the box or the comfort zone. You have to be willing to get out of it to find the directions for what it is that you'd like to achieve in your life and what it is that you'd like to achieve in your business. Now, number 14, one way we create fear is by, and the two words are overgeneralization. Overgeneralization. So what does that actually mean? What that really means is it's like catastrophizing one event. So say one person that you called said something nasty or said you were pushy or something along those lines. An overgeneralization is you viewing that one situation as a never-ending pattern of defeat. You start to make the assumption in your mind that everybody thinks you're that way or that you are that. Now you're overgeneralizing. One person, maybe you're a director and one person leaves your unit and says something bad about your leadership style. And then all of a sudden now you think you're a bad leader. That's an overgeneralization. And that creates fear. You've got to be wary about that. And you have to bring it into your awareness, get to the point where you can recognize yourself creating that overgeneralization. So that's what some of this is all about. It's increasing your awareness so you can catch yourself in the moment when you start to do these things that are actually holding you back. All right, number 15, fear fact number 4. And I talked a little bit about this earlier. And that's fear is an affirmation of growth. Fear is an affirmation of growth. And again, it's you being in a moment in time, where if you make the decision to act, you're moving forward. You're going to grow. And if you decide not to move forward, then you're basically making the conscious decision to stay where you are. So it is. It's a moment where you can realize growth is going to happen here. And when I think back, and I think back to that first training that I did in corporate America, oh my gosh, the tremendous growth that happened to me in those 2 days. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. Again, it completely redefined how I looked at myself as a professional. And it changed my life. It totally changed my career. It changed my direction. It brought my mission to me. We talked about mission last week. Nancy did a great job covering all that material. I would not know my mission today, possibly, had I not done that training and had I not grown from it. So think about that. We talked earlier about how, you know, the most rewarding experiences in our life happen when we're outside of our comfort zone. So if you're not getting outside of your comfort zone in your Mary Kay business, then the same thing's happening. You're missing the most rewarding experiences in your life that you could be having through Mary Kay because you're not getting out of your comfort zone. So it's really important that you understand. All right, what I want to do is I want to share with you, we want to move over to the final page there, page 5. And again, as I've said, a lot of this has to do with awareness because I can't sit next to you and push you and say, do it, do it, do it, take action, take action, take action. I'm not there with you. But what I can do is I can bring into your awareness some of the patterns that take place that keep you stuck. And then what can happen is you can start to then notice when you start to slip into a pattern that's actually going to create self-sabotage. And when you feel yourself moving into that pattern, and you see it because now you're aware, Well, now you can make a different decision, and you can take a different action. You can actually move forward rather than making the decision to stay still. So I want to explain to you what happens. And if you're not, everybody that's on your team, and even you, is probably in one of these cycles. So let's explain. It's pretty simple. The cycle of fear. The top line is you're fearful. So just write, I become fearful. And then over on the right-hand side at 3 o'clock, because you're fearful now, you don't take action. So no action. So write those words, no action. And then because you took no action, down at 6 o'clock on that line, write, feel sorry for myself. So now because you haven't moved into action, you start to feel a little bit of guilt. You start to feel a little bit of shame. You start to question, am I good enough? You start to question, can I really accomplish this? Can I really do this? And you start to move yourself down into the doldrums. And then over at 9 o'clock, because you're feeling sorry for yourself, you take even less action. So just write the words, less action. And then because you took less action, you're right back up to the top. You're even more fearful. So you can see how this can go round and round. You become fearful, then you don't take action. Then because you're not taking action, you feel sorry for yourself. And then because you're feeling sorry for yourself, you take even less action, which makes you more fearful, which makes you take less action, which makes you feel more sorry for yourself, which makes you take less action. And around and around and around and around and around it goes. Now, how do you get off of the cycle if you're in it? The way to get off of the cycle is to get into action. It's to take action. Go warm chatter somebody. Pick up your phone. Call some clients. Take an action in your business that will move you forward. That's the only way off the cycle. And once you do that, you'll start to feel better about yourself. And then you move into the cycle of empowerment, which is down at the bottom of the page. And here's what that cycle looks like. This is the good news cycle right here. At the top at 12 o'clock, write action. So you take a particular action. It could be making a phone call. It could be going out, again, doing some warm chatter. It could be booking a lead event. It could be picking up the phone and calling daycare centers and seeing if you can come in and do appreciation for the moms. If you haven't done that, it's a great technique. Call the local daycare centers. Bring Sat and Hands in. Set up a table. Get there around, 2:30, 3 o'clock. And here's what you want to do when you get there. When you get there, you definitely want to have something like a lollipop tree. I'm sure a lot of you have seen those, a lollipop tree. You want to have a bunch of lollipops on the table. Because what happens is when the kids come out, their moms come to pick them up. The kids come out. They see the table. They see all the lollipops. The kids rush over to the table to get a lollipop, and guess who they bring with them? They bring their mom. And then you have the opportunity to interact, pass your card, do some Sat and Hands on the mom. So what this boils down to is, again, you have to move yourself to an action. And if you don't move yourself to an action, you stay in the cycle of fear, which keeps you stuck. So you take the action, and then over at 3 o'clock, what happens is, write the words, something along these lines, you feel empowered and confident. Or just write increased confidence. And we just talked about that. It's the huge sort of reward that comes when you start to take action in spite of your fear. Is you start to feel empowered, you start to feel confident. And when you feel that way, you head down to 6 o'clock, And you, what ends up happening is you take more action because you're feeling empowered and you're feeling confident. So now that increases your activity level even more. And then you move over to the next phase, which is over at 9 o'clock, which means even more empowerment. So you feel even better. So now you're building the, you know, the snowball's rolling down the hill. You're feeling that momentum. Maybe you're getting some sales. You're getting some bookings. Maybe you find a recruit. And that's when you start to say to yourself, everything's turning around. Everything's feeling better. So you feel more empowered, which means, and then you take more action. So it's action, empowerment, more action, more empowerment, action, more empowerment, and it goes round and around and around and around and around. And that's when great things can get created in your business, is when you're on that cycle. And again, the way to get on that cycle is by picking up your phone and making some calls. So I want to review with you quickly the main tools for getting over fear, so that you have them around the middle of the call, and you're going to have them here again at the end. And the main tools are, number one, stay present. Remember, fear is in the future. Stay present. Ask yourself the question, am I good enough to make one call right now? And make one call. And then ask yourself the question again, am I good enough to make one call? And make the one call. Remember, stay focused on the step that's right in front of you. What is it? You want to go to directorship? You want to hit DIQ? What's that step that's right in front of you? And just focus on taking that. Don't get too far ahead of yourself, because you can create overwhelm. Remember, chunk down your tasks. Chunk them down. If you've got that stack of leads that we talked about that you're not calling, chunk it down. Instead of thinking about calling the whole stack, make a commitment to call two people. Make a commitment to call three people. Chunk it down. You know, at the end of the day, you'll still get it done. You know, it might take you a week. It might take you 2 weeks, depending on the size of the stack of leads. And remember, be wary of attaching security to the leads. We talked about how you can be really struggling, but then you say to yourself, oh, but I still got those leads over there. I still got those leads. Everything could be okay. I could get some yeses. I still got those leads, and then you don't call them. And that's because you're attaching safety to something that's not safe. And I talked about Gloria Mayfield Banks talking about the comfort zone, and is the comfort zone really that comfortable? I talked about stories, about how you tell a story about the person you're going to call. And if stories are getting triggered, cover up the names so all you can see are the numbers, because it becomes very difficult to attach a story to a random phone number. So cover up the names if you have to. All right, mantras, I talked about those. I like to use the one, again, this is when the story starts to come. You know the story I'm talking about that starts to talk you out of moving into action? Use the mantra, don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think. And while you're saying that, take your action. I've been seen dialing the phone while I'm saying to myself, don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think, don't think, because my mind can only focus on one thing at a time. So if I'm focusing on don't think, then I'm managing my fear and I'm moving into action. So that about wraps it up. I hope you all had an aha moment or two and took some real value from this information. My hope is that all of you will apply this. We talked a lot about the number of calls that will lead to 30 faces. So what I want to say for all of you, and you can do this for those of you that have accountability partners, start setting the goal of making. Remember we talked about 3.3 calls per day? So try to get yourself to like five booking calls per day. Consistently. And set that up with your accountability partners. Set that up with us if you need to. And we'll do everything we can on our end to hold you accountable to that action, because that's the key. It's that consistent action day after day after day after day. So we'll look forward to seeing all of you on Thursday night for the Q&A call. And remember, you can ask questions about whatever you want. It can be the content from the first two calls, or it can be anything at all that you're struggling with. If you're not going to make the call, email your questions to us.
and we will address those questions on the call so that when you listen to the recording, your question is answered. So again, I hope you all enjoyed it. I want to say take care. Have a great couple of days, and we will see all of you on Thursday night. Good night, everybody.